This season between Epiphany, between Christmas and Lent, the season that we're now in, is called Epiphany time. And as you well know, Epiphany means manifestation or showing. And each of the Sunday readings have had something to do with showing Jesus. On the 12th day of Christmas, Jesus was made manifest to the wise men as the representatives of the Gentile world. A couple of Sundays ago, Jesus manifested himself to Peter, Andrew, James, and John on Lake Galilee. Last Wednesday, he was manifested to Simeon and Anna in the temple, 40 days after his birth. Well, today, Jesus is manifest as the great physician. He not only healed people himself, but he also instructed his disciples to heal. And from the very beginning, the church has been involved in the ministry of healing. Now, in recent years, in the Western world, the idea of healing has broadened. Medical professionals like doctors and nurses have been supplemented by alternative healthcare techniques, acupuncture, chiropractic, herbal remedies, reflexology, and so on. Some of these are very ancient. Some of them are much more modern. Some seem to provide some sort of relief. Others are just plain quackery. Now, certainly one of the benefits of this broadening of healing is that medicine has become more holistic, treating the whole person and not just the disease. And one of these alternative healing techniques is spiritual healing, which is the kind of healing that our Lord practiced. Patients sometimes believe that spiritual healers have special powers all their own. Genuine spiritual healers usually claim that any particular power that they might have comes from God, or from whatever they choose to call God. Now, as with all things, there's a potential for abuse in the ministry of healing. Some very high-profile televangelists have made huge claims of miraculous cures, but after investigation, these have turned out to be fraud. And that brings the whole topic of spiritual healing into disrepute, with vulnerable people desperate for a cure. It isn't difficult to persuade them to part with large sums of money while convincing them that they feel better after treatment, and it's all very sad. So what is authentic spiritual healing? And we need to begin by saying that the whole topic is rather mysterious. It is, however, common knowledge that the mind can influence the body to a remarkable degree. Some people can lower their blood pressure, for instance, by the power of thought. And perhaps spiritual healing acts along these lines. Perhaps it is possible through prayer to channel God's love to a particular ailment and disease. Maybe the power of God working in us kickstarts the body's own healing mechanism so that the healing process begins. I don't know. Like I said, it's all very mysterious. It may be that there are blocks to healing, just as though there are blocks to God's love. a hidden resentment or arrogance or jealousy. I don't know. We know from psychology that deep emotional anguish, unless it is dealt with, festers and can lead to illness. And that is why Jesus prefaced his healing by casting out demons and by forgiving sins. Blocks have to be removed so that healing grace can flow. It's all very mysterious. But we do know from Scripture, and we know from our own experience, that prayer assists the healing of a person in profound and wonderful ways. Spiritual healing always takes place in a context of prayer. Spiritual healing is sacramental, which is to say, it has an outward and visible component, such as the laying on of hands or the anointing with oil to accompany the inward spiritual healing. And all of these aspects of healing are present in the New Testament. St. James writes, "Is any of you sick? Let him call for the presbyters of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. For the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective." This passage from James is the basis of the sacrament of unction as found in the prayer book. Priests of the church, using oil blessed by the bishop, lay hands on a sick person and pray for healing. Sacrament used to be called extreme unction because people could only receive it when they were in extremis or near death. But in recent years, the church has recovered a more ancient, a more scriptural understanding of the sacrament of healing. It can be given to the sick at various times in an illness, as well as part of the last rites of the church. Now, healers act as channels for God's power, and anyone can be called to God's healing ministry. By their ordination, priests are specifically commissioned to heal in the name of Jesus, who is the great physician. And then one final thought occurs to me. There is a difference between a cure and healing. Spiritual healing is holistic and takes places in the innermost parts of our being. Sometimes our outward body refuses a cure and continues to waste away. But healing is nonetheless taking place in our souls. And in the end, of course, we shall all be changed. God will bind up all of our wounds and wipe away every tear from our eyes. Healing is never, ever wasted. It's never wasted, even though physical results might not always visibly be directly visible. To receive a prayer through the laying on of hands and anointing is to be in direct contact with God. Remember that episode in the Gospels when the woman reaches out and she touches the hem of our Lord's garment and she is healed. That is what we are doing whenever we pray for healing, whenever hands are laid on, whenever the oil of unction is applied. We are reaching forth and stretching our hand to touch the Lord's garment that he might heal us. Let us stand in the words of the Nicene Creed. Affirm the faith that comes down to us from the apostles. We believe in one God, the Father of all.